Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we're very happy to welcome Martha Scanlon and John Neufeld to the studio today. Welcome, Martha.
Thank Hello. You. Thanks for having us.
Now, I'm pretty sure this is your first visit here. Is that right?
It is.
Okay. But you're originally from Minnesota. Where in Minnesota are you from?
It's my first time playing at the station.
Right. No, that's what I was asking. Yep.
But I grew up in St. Paul.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we'll find out more about your travels since then. But I want to mention your show tonight, which is at Beaner Central in Duluth. A local group 4 Mile Portage is opening up. Mm-hmm. And what time does that start?
The show starts at 7.
Okay. Well, let's get started with a song, and then we'll come back and chat and find out more about you.
Great.
Sounds great.
What do you want to start with?
This is a song that's on my second album, and it's I live on a small family ranch in eastern Montana, and it's a record that I did. I brought musicians like John and some other folks to this ranch to record these songs that I'd written there. So it's called Guardian Angel.
40 years on the day shift, 40 nights of rain, 40 cars that cost a kind of gold, head to Chicago on the back of a train, 40 miles down this red dirt road, 40 flying geese, ragged feet crying broken and broken across the broken bricks of the old Missouri. 41 days and your letter still burns. Take my fear and transgressions, take my love and grace, take my two-faced guardian angel and go set her back up in her. It's a killing frost can cut down millions in the morning of the golden dreams. Take it on further, you can take it on far. Take my fear and transgression, take my love and grace, take my two-faced guardian angel and go up in her place. Light a candle to set to seal up a throne of those rosy coals. Take my boots in the wide old Missouri, send me on my way back back home. Oh,
That is Martha Scanlon live from Studio A along with John Neufeld. And I'm smiling because I listened to that song on your website and I enjoy that two-faced guardian angel. Love that concept.
All too real.
What inspired that song? Do you remember?
Oh, you know, I think touring, I kind of divided my time between Eastern Montana, at least in the last 5 or so years, you know, living on this ranch and then touring a lot. And I think that song came out of kind of being homesick and, you know, kind of coming back home and crossing the Missouri River. And yeah, a lot of my songs seem to come out of missing someplace or someone. So thank God for longing.
And so tell me how your path led you to Montana, because I know you spent some time in Tennessee, right, before that?
I did, yeah.
And was it music that kind of brought you there? You kind of wanted to, you were really drawn to kind of old-time music and wanted to find out more about it, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, and I ended up kind of playing in an old-time band when I was there. But it was one thing that really struck me about living there is how tied to landscape that music is and how it's music in that part of the country, and in Appalachia especially, is such an interwoven part of the fabric of life, whether it's community and landscape, everything's tied together with music. And that was fascinating to me, and I think it really influenced me in coming back to Montana and kind of being interested in what songs would come out of that landscape, you know.
And in your writing, you know, some of the songs that I've listened to, definitely a lot of landscape in there and nature imagery, and not in everyone, but definitely a noticeable part of your work. So what drew you to Montana then?
I moved out west pretty quick after I graduated from high school. We'd been going out to Montana when I was a kid. On my dad's side, my great-grandfather started, he was working on the railroad, and so he started going out to Montana, and then my grandparents lived there, and so we've kind of been back and forth for a few generations on that side, so there was a familiarity with it.
And is it kind of a rustic situation that you live in, or what is it like there?
You can say that.
Yeah.
John's been there a few times.
Well, I've seen, you know, pictures, and it's like a cabin, and so I wasn't sure if that was what your living situation was.
Yeah, yeah, like a regular grocery store is like a good tune in, you know, like a half hour and a half drive to go to a regular grocery store. You know, I fly out of Billings, and it's like 3 hours to get to Billings. So,
Do you have the internet there though?
I do. I do. I have the internet. No cell phone service for quite a ways away, but...
Because, I mean, the world has changed so much, you know, in the last several years. And so I'm thinking about, you know, to be in a place like that and how that might inspire your music and your writing, you know. And in the past, there wouldn't be much else to do. But in the digital age, you know, you can be in that remote place but still have the distraction. Do you find that, or how does that work for you?
I think I notice it most when the power goes out and I have a wood stove and there's candles and it's like, well, I guess I'll play music, you know. but yeah, I do find that, you know, when I spend time with older people that remember how important dances were and what a big deal it was for everyone to get together, you know, because these ranches are really far apart, and how important that music was. And so, yeah,
and that's how people got together, you know, like this, like the social occasion, people who ended up marrying each other, that's where they would meet, and very important in the community.
Yeah.
But things have changed quite a bit.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I still think music is such a, people that fall in love have a song, you know, there's a first dance at a wedding, it's still, you know, at funerals, it's still such an important part of our lives, you know.
Well, how long have you been writing songs? Tell me about that.
Not that long. I mean, I've always written stuff, you know, poems and little things like that. But I think I actually wrote my first song when I came to the ranch for the first time to play my friend's wedding there. And that was, I guess, 14 years ago now. So it's funny. Yeah, I was living in Tennessee at the time, and that's when I wrote my first song.
So when you, 'cause you were in a band in Tennessee that we talked about, the real-time travelers, right? Mm-hmm. So you weren't a songwriter at that point?
I was.
Oh,
yeah,
you were.
That
okay.
was after I started writing.
Okay, okay. And what did you do in that band?
I played guitar and tried to play guitar really fast. I dread the day when somebody's going to ask me to sit in with their string band. And I will not be able to ever play that fast again. It's like running a race or doing sit-ups. God, just let it not happen. No, just kidding. I love playing old-time music. I'm just kind of slowed down.
Well, and it's a different approach, I suppose, you know, when you're writing. And you know, you mentioned that you write poetry and stuff, which doesn't surprise me because looking at your lyrics, very poetic and a lot of imagery. And you can kind of tell that you're a poetry person. And but so music that would go along with that would be very different, I would think, than... You know.
Yeah, it's been interesting to have it stretch out, and it's great that it keeps stretching out. Like, I love John Neufeld, who's playing guitar with me here, is wonderful to play with in that regard. He's in a band called Black Prairie. He lives in Portland, Oregon, and they just have such a wide... I love their whole collaborative process and the way that their records change from record to record. It's been really... a lovely influence to play music with him and spend time with him. And
so how did you guys start playing music together?
We met through a mutual friend. Caleb Clowder suggested me to play with Martha at a festival in Portland called Pickathon, and somebody that you had planned on coming to play with you couldn't make it and so needed somebody to fill in, and so Caleb gave me her number and called each other, and we talked for about a half hour about horses, because at the time I've always wanted to ride a horse, and I'd just gotten into it. And like after about a half hour of talking about horses, we were like, I guess we should figure out if the schedules even allow us to play the festival together. Are you gonna be here and there on this day? And then that was pretty much it. Like, she came out and came to my house the day before the festival, and we played, I think, maybe two or three songs on my front porch. And then kind of like, oh, this feels great. Let's just wing the rest. And went and played the festival. And then 2 weeks later, she flew me out to Montana, and I played on their recording. So it was a very fast get-to-know-you time.
And the next thing you know, you're in Duluth, Minnesota in January.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Four years later, here we are.
And here we are. Another freezing cold tour. Poor John.
You have a knack for that.
I do have a knack for it. Like, the coldest places in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll talk about... I know that you've put out a couple of albums, and you have just recorded a new one.
Correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play you one of those songs.
Okay, great.
And John actually produced that record, recorded in Portland with some of the folks from Black Prairie, and this great drummer named Ben Nugent, who also is a great songwriter, and he has a great record out, and he was in another band of John's called DeLorean, but that was a wonderful collaborative process as well.
Yeah, super fun.
Really great. So this is a song called Unbroken Wings.
Frost on my dreams. Frost on your mind.
That is Martha Scanlon live from Studio A, along with John Neufeld. And you said that's one from your forthcoming new album, right?
It is. It should be out this spring.
And it's going to be
April.
Be called The Shape of Things Gone Missing, The Shape of Things to Come, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's quickly mention your previous couple of albums. This is your third one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you put out The West Was Burning back in 2007.
Yeah.
And that got some pretty positive attention, it seems. Actually, both of them did. And then a few years later, it was Tongue River Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people just crank out albums like one a year. Mm-hmm. And now you put them out like every few years. And I always kind of hesitate to ask people about that because I don't mean it as a criticism. I'm just always curious about their process and, you know, how that works for you, putting out an album. And
yeah, I wish that I had some intentionality around this. It just seems... my life has just been kind of interesting.
That's good.
Like some people are like, I think I'll just drop everything and, you know, move to this remote ranch for 5 years. But for me, it was just kind of like, I happened to step into the pages of a novel kind of, and like, well, here I am. And I only expected to kind of take it maybe a year off to write and just be quiet there, but it just kind of kept unfolding, and there's so much depth there and beauty. And
so you say it's a ranch. Is it, you know, like mm-hmm. a working ranch?
It's a working cattle mm-hmm. ranch. It's okay. Been in the same family for 120 years.
Okay, so you participate in that, and you're
it's just for whatever reason, my life just kind of unfolded that way, and it's been interesting. I felt like I was taking time away from music, especially in the last couple of years. And when I was working on these songs for this new record, I realized that I'd kind of been writing them this whole time, that working with animals and working, especially with horses and cattle, it's all about movement and energy and motion, and so is music, you know. It's kind of being immersed in the same qualities, but in a different way. If that, sorry to get so heavy here on a Friday afternoon.
No, I think it's fascinating.
But yeah, so it was really interesting. I think oftentimes, especially recording songs, well, I don't know. This is an unfolding mystery for me, but songs continue to evolve for me, even if songs I wrote 10 years ago become about different things. And it's always kind of a process of discovery, I guess.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So even though it seemed like you were, you weren't intentionally doing the things that you needed to do for a music career,
mm-hmm.
what was going on in your life was kind of in the background there, kind of germinating, it sounds like.
Apparently so. Yeah, which is good news.
I mean,
I'm pretty much like, yeah, I'm My booking agents are really great. They're always like, do you have the internet? And they're really sweet, and mm-hmm. they've been really supportive and great mm-hmm. and understanding. But yeah, I've generally done just about everything that you're not supposed to do to have a career in the music business.
And but was it always something that you knew, yes, I'm going to always do music, but right now I just feel like doing this? Or was it, you know, you just were doing this and you didn't know if you were going to do music again? Or how did
I think it's more in retrospect. In the middle, it's one of those things when you're in the middle of it, you can't really see how it's going to turn out. But in retrospect, I could see I was kind of finding some kind of current and following it. Mm-hmm. There was some current that felt true. And so I would follow it, which is scary because, you know, you don't know, will I have an audience if I come back? Or is this ridiculous? Or, but, it but it, you know, here we are. Here we are still.
That here you are.
Oddly enough.
We're happy to have you. So those were your previous two albums, and now when did you start working on this latest one, and how long has the process been happening?
It's been awesome. Actually, we wanted to do it. I wanted it to be really, all the musicians that played on it are, John's really improvisational and really in the moment with music and loves to do that. Like, oh, let's do this. And the musicians in his band, Black Prairie, that was one thing that I loved about their records and their process, is that it's very collaborative and kind of innovative. And we wanted it to be really immediate. So I can't, what was it? It was like front to back, was it?
Oh, it's 11 days from setting up the first microphone to recording to having the final master, mm-hmm. which is pretty unusual mm-hmm. For a regular length album. Usually, you know, people set a mastering date for about a month after you get your final mixes so you can mull it over and decide what things that you want to nitpick and do this and that. And this was like, we recorded for 4 days or 5 days, and then the next morning we started mixing. And I remember I recorded some vocals and a guitar line the morning of going into mixing, because we didn't quite like this one part, but that's the amount of time that, you know, mm-hmm. I think when you have a time crunch, a self-imposed time crunch, it's really good for being truthful with what you want, what you don't want, and having it just all out there. So mm-hmm. it was cool.
And you went to Portland, and I also was going to ask you, you did a Kickstarter for this. So if you were wondering, all right, is it, you know, I've been kind of on the ranch for a while, is anybody still interested? You must have found out, yes, they are still interested when you did your Kickstarter.
Yeah, that was really lovely mm-hmm. and really great. And
apparently you do have the internet if you're able to do a Kickstarter.
Yes, I do. I have the internet.
She does the Google.
Was that the first time that you'd done a fan-funded thing like that?
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
It was a little bit like walking into a busy street in Manhattan and staying there for like a month, but it was great. It was, people were so supportive and lovely, and it was really neat to feel people generating that and being along for the ride for that, and to have that kind of support made it just feel like a real gift to be able to do it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And you said the album's going to come out sometime in the spring, right?
Yeah, probably April.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to that. Well, let's hear one more. What are you going to finish up with here?
Yeah. This is, and I forgot to say, you know, in that this last record, that's the record that's coming out in the spring, my good friend Amy Helm sings on that too, and I just wanted to mention that. She also has a record coming out this summer.
And she's Levon Helm's daughter, right?
She is,
now,
yeah.
Now, how do you know? Because your first album, didn't Levon do something on that?
Yeah, he played drums, and we recorded that up at his studio.
Okay. So how did you meet those guys?
I met Amy because we were on a tour together. My band at the time, Real Time Travelers, and her band at the time, Olabel. We're on this tour that had to do with the Cold Mountain soundtrack coming out.
Because your band had a song on the soundtrack.
Yeah, and nobody knew who either of our bands were. So we were always like in the hinterland dressing rooms on this tour, and we just played music the whole time. And on buses, and yeah. So
eating the wrong food backstage.
Yeah, eating the wrong food backstage.
You guys weren't supposed to eat the good food?
No, well, there was an incident where I thought Alison Krauss's crew had left, and I was like, wow, asparagus, that's great. And they hadn't, but she's really lovely. She's really lovely and funny.
Alison Krauss's food, okay.
I did. She was awesome about it. There's another lovely person that you wish is as nice as you think they are, and they exceed that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Anyway, so Amy's on this, and this is a song from that first West Was Burning record called Seeds of the Pine. And can I just say what a lovely interviewer you are?
Oh, thank you.
And what an enjoyable
and
it's rare. It's not rare. I don't mean rare dissing everyone that's done interviews. It's just lovely when you come across something like this, and it's such an old school radio station and people that love music. It's just really cool.
People can connect thoughts together in a very easy format. It's a lot harder than it seems sometimes, you know.
Well, right back at you. I appreciate articulate guests as well. You play nice music.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Close enough.
That's how we roll.
That's right.
Okay. It's called Seeds of the Pine.
Thank you.
Martha Scanlon, and one from her first album, The West Was Burning, live from Studio A, along with guitarist John Neufeld. Well, thanks so much, guys. Really
thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And again, they're playing tonight at Beaner Central in Duluth. Show starts at 7 with local group 4 Mile Portage opening up. Today's live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.